The topic we had for this afternoon, discovering if I should go into church planting. And the subject's a lot bigger than I am, so let's again ask God to help us as we think about this for a bit this afternoon. Lord God, today we thank you because you are the one who calls. You're the one who puts stirrings in our hearts. And you're the one, O Lord God, who knows what the work is that we should be involved in. God, our prayer has been that you would raise up more church planters, that there could be more churches, new churches, planted in areas where there are none today. So God, we just want to thank you because you are God and you are our Father, and we want your will to be done. Guide us, I pray, as we share this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Amen. We were in Ecuador, in Nicaragua, actually, not Ecuador, before Ecuador. We were in Nicaragua, and the mission had asked us to go down to Nicaragua to help with the rebuilding project after the earthquake destroyed the capital city. Thank you. And I had sensed from the time I was a young teenager, I had sensed a calling from God to missions. Church planting, not that necessarily, but to missions. And happened as a missionary came to our home church and shared. And just as I look back now, I can see that night, as that missionary shared, there was something in my heart. God just said, that's where you need to go. And a missionary would happen to be from Costa Rica. And so I was, from that point on, my plans were to go to Costa Rica. And must admit that my first sense of calling was more an attraction to adventure. I was a Christian, and I was going to church and so on. It wasn't that I was away from the Lord. But as a young teenager, it wasn't a deep sense of burden for the people and so on, but adventure. I love adventure. And the pictures that he showed were adventure, backcountry and that kind of thing, you know. And but God used that. It's amazing how God can work. But he used that, and he put in my heart a desire to go there. So after high school, in high school I took Spanish because I was going to Costa Rica. And got out of high school, went to Rosedale to Bible school for a term. And mission office is right there, so I signed up for VS in Central America. And went to Costa Rica in language school, and was there for about 6 weeks, and they sent a couple of us to Nicaragua. So I never did work in Costa Rica. But that first sense was to Costa Rica. The Lord used that to get me moving in the right direction. And then, later on, then he said, that's not Costa Rica, it's Nicaragua. And then during that VS time, of course, was when I met my wife and so on. We got married here in Indiana, and during the first year of our marriage, went to Rosedale for a term of service, and again, talking to the mission, we had talked to Mark Peachy. I don't know if any of you know Mark Peachy or not. He's been dead for a number of years. He was the secretary of the mission of Rosedale at that time. And before we got married, we talked to him and said, we're interested in missions. We would like to go somewhere. And he said, well, get yourself married, and after you get married, let's talk about it in a year from now. So that was wise, very wise counsel. And so we got married and didn't quite hold out a year, but it was several months anyway. So we were there in a church planting. We were there in a rebuilding project. And we were helping out in a little Mennonite church in the area where we were, and really enjoyed it. Worked with the youth and so on. And so as we shared in this little church and so on, and then the mission asked us, would you go to Rio Blanco and help to get us church started? The mission had nurses working there in Rio Blanco, and said, we'd like to get a pastor, a missionary there that can start a church in Rio Blanco. And so I was praying and fasting, and saying, God, why should I accept this assignment to church planting? And after a couple days of fasting, one of the other missionaries came around, and we were talking about it, and I told him what I was asking of the Lord and praying about, and he said, "You're asking the wrong question." And I said, "Oh, how's that?" He said, "You should be asking the Lord why you should not accept the assignment to plant church in Rio Blanco." And it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'm asking the wrong question. And so I started asking the Lord, okay, what's the reasons why I should not accept the assignment to go to Rio Blanco in church planting? And there wasn't really any reason that came up to not accept it. So I'm going to turn that question around for you today, too. And what are the reasons why you should not go into church planting? You've made some effort to get here today, some of you from farther, some of you from closer. But church planting, and this, we know this kind of weekend is not popular, it's not going to be the big attraction of things, because not everybody has that inkling, that desire. So the fact that you're here today, I would suggest that you change that question to discovering why I should go into church planting. And see what the Lord says to you. One of the things that comes to mind, of course, as I think about this, is from Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents. And where the kingdom of heaven will be like a master who entrusted his servants with things of value. And he went away. The master went away in this parable. And it says, after a long time, he came back. And he asked each servant to give account. And asking to give account, there was two different responses. There were two that were faithful. There was one that was unfaithful. And to the faithful one, the faithful two, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, I will put you over much." He gave that commendation to them. But the other, who was negligent, he said to the unfaithful one, he said, "Wicked, slothful, worthless servant." And the punishment was he would be cast into a lake of fire where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we're here today, I know we are, all of us, because we want to hear one day those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That God would look on our lives, that God would look on what we have done, and he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful." And I know that's the desire of each of your hearts as well. There needs to be, first of all, a personal sense of desire to obey Jesus' commands. Willingness to be obedient to God. Willingness to do whatever God says. And again, we come back to, we just went through a long-term orientation at the Mission Training Center. And the testimony of one of the young ladies that was there was that in the last several years, God had been impressing on her that God is the one who has the pen that's writing her story. It's not her. It's God that's writing the story of her life. And I think we all want that. We want God to write the story. Not us deciding, "I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." But waiting on God and saying, "God, where do I fit in? This whole big wide world, where do I fit in? What is the job that you have for me in this whole scheme of things?" So it takes someone willing to be obedient to God. Again, I'm so glad that when we were there in Nicaragua with that church, with that building project, that there were people who had spiritual insight and spiritual wisdom who were older than I, who said, "Would you be willing to go to Rio Blanco in church planting?" There was someone who had enough insight to see something in me that I didn't know was there. I had no clue was there. And I think that's the role of church leaders, should be the role of church leaders, to be observant and to see and to sense what God has for each person, the potential that God has in the life of each person, and be able to say, I think I think you should accept this. I think you should go this direction or that direction. So I'm glad for those people in my life that God put there and said, I think you should go. I think you should accept this assignment. I think you should go that direction. So I praise God for people like that. And hopefully we who are here can be people like that as well. We'll encourage others to do that. And again, went to that Rio Blanco. No clue that God was going to use us in several different places after that to raise up new churches. Had no clue of that. We were simply being obedient to God. What God was calling us to do. The mission asked us to do it. And our home church affirmed that. The mission board was asking us to go. And the home church affirmed it. I was licensed to the ministry before we went down there. So we had that blessing from the home church as well. And again, very young. I was, how old were we at that time? We were 24, 25, maybe, I don't know, somewhere in there. We were about 24, I think. Young, very young. And yet, they were willing to invest that in us, willing to put that confidence in us. And I appreciate that so much. But anyway, other people around us that confirm that to us are very important. And as God gives us opportunity to share with others in that way. Again, talking about the uniqueness of gifting, a missionary friend of ours at one point later on, some years later, we were talking about going to two different places and which place should we go and what should we go into next, the next assignment. And he said, you don't really have the gift of evangelism. You should go into something else. And I didn't really listen to him. I'm not an evangelist. That's not my primary gifting. As I understand gifting, primary gifting is more pastoral. It's more taking care of the new believers and this kind of thing. I love to preach, love to share with unbelievers. But God put us together as a couple. And God's given my wife some unique gifting in that area. She opens a lot of the doors to new acquaintances and so on. And then I go in. friendships that she has. And so God has put us together in that unique way. But it's unique how God does it. And only God can do it. But it's the importance of doing what God sets before us, taking advantage of those opportunities. And praise God when there are spiritual authorities that will bless us and encourage us in it. Well, the confirmation of spiritual authorities. This is another step, very important. Do my spiritual authorities affirm or confirm that calling in me? Do they see that in me? Don't head for Timbuktu by yourself on your own. Don't do it. Very rarely does that prove successful. We need spiritual authorities over us. People that are more mature than we are. People that can give us direction. People that can help us. People that are in contact with God and they can see through us. People that maybe have known us for a while and they've seen certain things in our lives. We need those people to help us, to give us that affirmation. Again, as I said, the people ask and then the people confirmed that to us and so on. And again, the amazing thing, we went out there and started sharing the gospel with people, and people started accepting Christ, and we baptized them, and God raised up a church. And we'll talk more about some of those things in the other session, the steps to planning a church, my other session. But another confirmation of, is God calling me to church planting, is practical circumstances. Practical circumstances that surround this thing. One circumstance, of course, we work with a lot of international people, availability of visas. Since God calling me to X country. Well, if I can't get a visa to the country, then I can't go. There are practical circumstances that surround things for going. Availability of resources. That's one of the blessings of working with the financial setup that DNI has and GTO has as well, who we work with, where there's no promised income. Maybe that's one of the perks, that nothing promised to you except prayer. We'll pray for you. So It's if God doesn't give the money, we don't go. It's very simple. If God doesn't provide the money to travel to a new place, to start a new work or whatever, then it doesn't happen. And God confirms. God speaks in that way. And it's a blessing to wait on God that way. We had been in Nicaragua for a number of years. And we came home on just after the war. We came home on furlough one time. We're going back. And we were planning to go back to Nicaragua. There were leaders there that were training and so on to in the new churches. And so much work and so exciting to be part of that. And the Lord used some interesting circumstances. We got to the airport and they wouldn't let us in. They said, get back on the plane. Go, we don't want to see you anymore. That was after the communists had taken over there. And so all at once it was, what do you mean? Can't go in. I thought we were sensed this calling to return to Nicaragua and continue working there. And so they sent us on to the next stop was Costa Rica, next stop south. So we got back on the plane and off to Costa Rica again. And so we're there in Costa Rica, and Lord, what's up now? We can't even get into Nicaragua. So again, praying and fasting. God, what's up? What do you want us to do? We can't get in. We want to go in. And as we were praying, I had set that time and said every day until noon, I'll fast. And just spend time in prayer and asking God, what's up? And one day the Lord just, my mind, what makes you think that that there's more important things to do in Nicaragua than Ecuador? The mission had already mentioned to us the possibility of going on to Ecuador and helping down there. But I had said, no, Nicaragua is where we're needed right now. We need to continue working there. And the Lord said, what makes you think the work in Nicaragua is more important than the work in Ecuador right now? And I was like, oh, well, maybe it's not. It's just one of those things the Lord puts in your mind and it makes you stop and, oh, okay. Well, if that's what you want, Lord, okay, we'll do that. But to get from Nicaragua to Ecuador requires dollars. And I was moving down. So we said, okay, Lord, you want us to go to Ecuador? Well, that's fine. We'll go. I'd love to. But it requires money. So we said, Lord, if you provide the money, we go. If you don't, we don't. So I figured out how much it would cost to buy the tickets and how much it would cost to send some of our things, some boxes and whatever stuff that we had. It's going to cost about so much, Lord, to get us down to Ecuador. What I didn't ask the Lord was for money after we got there. Kind of forgot about that. So wouldn't you know, the amount that I asked for in a matter of a week or two there, the money came in. Just about exactly that amount of money. To buy the tickets, to pay for our stuff, to ship our stuff to Ecuador. So the Lord provided the resources, and the mission said go, and so we went. We went to Ecuador to continue on in the work of God there. And again, the Lord provided there a little bit tight at the beginning when we started out. Like I said, I forgot to ask the Lord for money after we got there. But he took care of us, and we survived. Another, the practical circumstances that surround this. We'd been in Ecuador, and the Lord had raised up two churches in one area where we were there. We come home on furlough. We're going back again to Ecuador. And I had a place in mind where I thought we could start working the next term. So we went to this little town called Jipijapa. This little town in a valley, beautiful little valley there. A town of about 35,000 people. And there was one church in there, had about 35 members. The only church in that whole village. And I said, boy, this is a place that's... They need more churches here. Obviously they did. So we started looking for a house to rent. A place where we could live. We looked around, looked. And finally found one that we thought could fit our needs. So we told the people we'll pray about it over the weekend and we'll let you know. Over the weekend they called and said, no, it's not for rent anymore. So I walked every street in that town looking for a house that would be suitable for us to rent. And I wasn't looking for anything luxury. And I didn't find any. There was no house there for rent for us. So I said, okay, Lord, well, we have to have a place to live. So what do we do? Well, again, the other people in the mission were saying, no, you shouldn't be in Jipijapa. You should be in Guayaquil. You should be working down there. And I wasn't listening very carefully to them because I was convinced that it was there. Until the Lord closed the door there, and so I started listening. And so we started looking for a house in Guayaquil, another city, big city. And within a week, we had a house in Guayaquil, in a different city. So the circumstances that surround, we just asked God to, I don't always understand very clearly. So I said, Lord, just hit me over the head or put a brick wall in front of me or something so I don't go in the wrong direction. I want to go in the right direction. I want to go where you want me to go. And so the Lord has had to do that somewhere, some places, sometimes along the way. But the practical circumstances are one way that God confirms that we should go into church planting. Again, the willingness to go. Willingness to trust the Lord for results. So the Lord is calling us to move to a new area to start a church. One question we ask, what if I'm there 10 years and nothing happens? What if there's no church comes out of it? Well, that's not our question to ask. That's not our problem to look at. If God is moving us to go, then we trust the Lord for the results. He says that his word that goes out from his mouth will not return void. His word will have its effect. So if we go and if we preach the gospel to the people, then Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he will bring those into the kingdom that he wants to bring in. But we go and we share and we trust the Lord for the results. Maybe years before you see results in a new area. But if God is calling us there, then we go trusting him for that. There has to be a willingness to pray a lot. Time and fasting and prayer. 10 years, and I'm not boasting, but just as I sense God calling me to that. 10 years that we were in Ecuador, for a good portion of those 10 years, I continued that fast until noon, at least 5 days a week, just seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, if you want your church in Ecuador, you're going to have to build it. But I'm your servant, and I'll do whatever needs to be done to see it happens. And so willingness to pray a lot. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer in the closet, prayer walking around town, a lot of prayer. You saw in this testimony here and other testimonies and books that you've read, prayer is going to be one of the secrets to it. But this is where we're in communion with God, where God speaks to us and empowers us to do the work. Willingness to work hard. Are you willing to work hard if God's calling you to a new area to plant a new church? There's a lot of hard work in it. Usually it's a rental place. You usually don't buy things at the beginning because you don't have any money. And it's good that way. Rent something. And so at the beginning, you're probably the one in charge. And so at the beginning, you sweep the floors, you set up the chairs, you lead the singing, you take up the offering, you preach, you teach, you visit, you evangelize, you put away the chairs, you turn out the lights, and you lock the door. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do what it takes? We've set up, I don't know how many chairs in our lives. Wish I could count them. But that's not the point. In the beginning, you do everything because there's no believers yet. And so you set things up and open the doors and hope somebody comes. And sometimes some people come. Sometimes they don't. Went to Guayaquil. Remember I told you about that little story. Started working there and we started having services in our home. Most places where we went, we started having services in our home. And during the first 2 years that we were there in Guayaquil, we had services every week in our house, sometimes out in the front porch, anywhere there in our house. And a lot of those times, during those first 2 years, there was only one person who would come to service. Different people, not the same one all the time. But a lot of times, one person from the community outside of our family that would come to service. But there was never one time in those 2 years that God didn't send at least one person to the service. And that's so amazing how God just to help us to keep going. And then the house that we were living in, the owners wanted their house, so we had to move. Now, moving is not fun for us. Anyway, I don't enjoy moving. I enjoy going to new areas. Love it. But I don't like moving. Moving is work, hard work, especially when you accumulate stuff like we Americans tend to do. And so the owner said, well, we want our house, so you're going to have to move. So I started looking and looking, found another house, and moved to another part of town. And then God all at once opened the door. And found a place to rent for the church meetings, and God started bringing people in, and God started raising up his church. And a number of things that went into that as well. That's a very brief part of it. But God using circumstances to get us to where he wants us so we can do his work in a way that's pleasing to him. But a willingness to learn a new language. A lot of new church plants that God may call us to means learning another language. Yes, we're living in America, and we're talking about American church planting here, basically. But there's a lot of people that speak other languages around here. I don't know what Wommelsdorf is like, if you have other nationalities here or not. But farther and farther, these other nationalities are spreading into our communities. And if you want to reach into somebody's heart, learn their language. You say three words in their language, and you get a smile on their face. Yeah, somebody said they're here in our country. They need to learn English. Yeah, of course they do. But who says we shouldn't learn their language? Who says, because to talk about spiritual things, the best way you can do it is in the heart language of the people. So learn another language. The little anecdote about us as Americans. A person that speaks three languages, we say, is trilingual. Person that speaks two languages is bilingual. Person that speaks one language is
handicapped.
American. Because we live on this little island by ourselves here, and so English is just the thing, and you know, we don't bother ourselves with learning other languages. But I would just encourage us, we need to learn other people's languages. And it takes work, a lot of hard work. But the willingness to do that, to be able to win them for the Lord. Alan Roth loves people from all countries and languages and whatever. And Followers of Jesus Church, if you've been there, is a very multi-ethnic church. And Alan knows how to say, hello, how are you, and I don't know how many languages. And Sunday morning, he'll say hi to the people in their own language. Well, the church service is in English. But he's taken the pain to learn a few words in every one of those other languages so those people sense that he cares about them. Because that communicates something. If you went to the work to learn three words of my language, it means you care about me. So anyway, learning a new language may be part of it. Willingness to be lonely. Willingness to be lonely. So difficult. One of the reasons it's difficult to get church planters is because we all like our home fellowships. We just love to be in fellowship at home. We love the brothers and sisters. We love the fellowship meals. We love to, you know, Sunday morning and the singing, you know, to hear a nice group of people singing. And we love it. You go to plant a new church, and sometimes there'll be two people, sometimes three people. Sometimes you have four people. You can have four parts singing. Four people singing, not four parts, but that's all you have, four people. You have to be willing to do that. God's called you to do that. You have to be willing to pay that price, because eventually there will be more people. But the beginning is going to be very small. Willingness to be lonely for a first while. Well, a number of other characteristics of to look for in a church planter. And again, there's a comment here, and this is copied from Brother Alan. No one will have all of these characteristics. Obviously, no one has them. But things to look for in a church planter. And so what we're encouraging you to do here is look in the mirror. And are these things that would characterize you? Flexibility and stickability. That stickability in my word processor was underlined in red. It's in the dictionary. But we know what it means. Stickability. Willing to stick with it until we see something happen. One blessing, one very, Brother Brent, who's down here in the basement, has stickability. He's been there in New York for 6-7 years now. They have yet to see their first Turkish convert in New York City. But God called them to it, and they just continue working at it. And praise God for that kind of stickability. Pioneering spirit, willing to start something new, head in a new direction. Humility, vision, courage, compassion, perseverance, strong spiritual commitment, vision, ability to develop broad ownership in the ministry, spouse cooperation, flexibility, able to take risks and deal with change, cares for people, initiates relationships, organized, enthusiastic, people person, energetic, self-starter, communicator, commitment, discipline, perseverance, adaptability, faith, family-centered, leadership, friendliness, called by God, denominational loyalty. Wow, what a list. I don't know who came up with that list, but there's a lot of good things there. But don't worry, you don't have all of them. I don't have all of them. Nobody does. But they are good qualities to have. Flexibility is very important. But God can teach us those things as well. So, those are just a few thoughts on the is God calling me to plant churches? One is, we all want to hear a well done, good and faithful servant, which means that we must be obedient to what God calls us to. Personal sense of desire to go in that direction. Something stirring inside that just says, I think maybe God would want me to go to a new area. Confirmation of spiritual authorities. Those that know us, those that are over us, say, I confirm that. I believe God's calling you to do that. Practical circumstances that work out so we can do it. And a willingness to trust the Lord. Spend a lot of time in prayer in going in these different directions. Okay, I talked a lot, talked maybe too much. It is 5 o'clock. Do you have any questions, comments, personal testimonies, things you'd like to share about the calling to church planting? Anyone?
Thing about this one about denominational loyalty and about respecting the spiritual authorities. Yes, for me, I come from an old order, horse and buggy, Mennonite, and they don't really support anything about like missionary stuff. You know, I would like to help them and to feel loyalty to them. I tried already, but it seems it just brought rejection. Mm-hmm. I guess for me, I'm not sure where somebody. I feel a calling, kind of, but I'm not sure about having somebody to lead me. I don't really. I don't really have anybody. Well, I could do a little house church right now.
Okay, good question. My brother has. Anyone have a comment for him?
Talking about denominational loyalty, should I go back to them? Stay with them? Be like him?
Okay, good question. One question I would have, can people come to know the Lord, are they encouraged to come to Jesus Christ in a personal relationship in that setting? Are they encouraged to, and you don't have to answer that here, but are they encouraged to grow in their spiritual life? Are they encouraged to read the Bible? Are they encouraged to obedience to everything that God says? That kind of thing I would ask if I were to stay in that setting. There's times in our lives, and there was a time in my life when I felt that I could not work with and submit to my spiritual authorities. So I put myself under another spiritual authority that I felt that I could relate to and put my whole heart into. Because where I was, I didn't feel like I could put my heart into. There were things that they were asking of me that I said, I don't see the importance. I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see the importance of it. And so I put myself under another authority that is more in my understanding, which is the BMA, which I feel that's where I can put my shoulder at the wheel and go full force, because I believe that that's where I am. That's my understanding of the Bible. This is where I can fit in. So I would say there is a time when that may need to happen. Any other questions or comments? You have a very, very good question. Okay, well, I do need to finish this, so let's pray and again, can we get together in small groups and just take a few minutes to pray? I know they haven't called us to supper yet. I know it's ready, probably. At five. It was ready. Sorry about that. Okay, let's get together in small groups and just pray and just give this thing to God. Pray that God would have his way and continue to work in each of our lives.